Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Or Kia Hyundai. Best in new inventory with great warranties and pre-owned inventory that has the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important. And a fabulous service department, terrific technicians. You need to have that vehicle backed up all the way, and they do that at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, the first 40-point game for a Nittany Lion in 62 years.
Pickett to the far wing against Danger. 12 to shoot. He's got Danger on him. He'll take the three. It's good. He goes over 2,000 points in his career.
It's interesting because the stat line right now is 2,000 points over 700 assists and over 600 rebounds. Well, he's two rebounds away from going 2,700 and 700. As Dave Jones wrote on PennLive.com today, the most unselfish 41 you'll ever see. He only took 20 shots. And he dished off 8 assists. It was a brilliant performance on a night where Penn State absolutely needed to win the game. They absolutely needed to win that game. It was a quad one game. They won the quad one game. Now you get, look, it's like they're playing playoff games right now. Now, where they end up with all that, we'll see, but all you can do is control what you can control right now. They need to go to Minneapolis and win on Saturday night at 9. You okay?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
No, I've got several notes from family members that I need to check in once in a while.
I'm doing better.
They're saying that there will be no road to recovery for you until they win the whole thing. They say it's a long process. There are certain people in life that need a long runway. You need a long runway.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
All right, let's. I want to get to a couple things first. I want to get to Lash. And the Haluba practice fields, that is on the docket for later this week. And I'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about the Pac-12 media issue. And it's a big issue for them right now. Number one, they don't have one. So let's put something out there that people should understand. I think there's been an assumption that Amazon is going to ride in on the white stallion and they're going to save the Pac-12 financially. They're going to pick up all these games and the whole deal. I'm not so sure that's true. Amazon, I think everyone would say, it may not have like had the streaming numbers that they had projected, but let's face it, their Thursday Night Football package in terms of production and so forth, maybe not the quality of game, but they got a lot of viewers, and guess what? They had a really terrific production, and a lot of people consider it to be an opening success. All right. But what does Amazon want to do? Amazon would prefer to have a game of the week. That's what they prefer to have, not carry, you know, 2, 3, 4 different Pac-12 games. They would like a game of the week, and they would like to have one of the better games in the conference. That's what they want. And they're not going to overpay for that. And Amazon, as Reginald Walker pointed out on the show, I want to say 2 months ago, that Amazon wants to now bid and see if they can get a game of the week in the NBA. And they think the NBA is a more valuable property than the Pac-12. And they also are considering bidding for NASCAR. So the Pac-12 can fit into it, but only under the parameters that Amazon wants. And Amazon does not want to overpay for the Pac-12. They don't want to come in and go, here's a bucket load of money, we're doing college football. That's not what, my understanding is that is not what they're trying to do. They're trying to get a game of the week, and they're trying to do it within the parameters of what a normal game of the week number would be. ESPN, if you listen to Bob Iger this week, he's essentially told Jimmy Pintero, who runs ESPN, hey, look, you know, go out after your after the packages you feel are best, but do it within the parameters of what's going on. Don't go out and just, you know, overpay for the sake of, hey, we've got a package of games. Now, ESPN would like to have that 10:30 time slot for college football. It makes sense. Oh, and by the way, if they didn't have the Pac-12, they could go with the Mountain West. Well, I guess what CBS might be on the Mountain West, right? Yeah, but I think they split that. But they don't want to overpay for it, so they're not going to be. They're not going to pay through the nose just to have the 10:30 time slot, especially with no USC and UCLA there. So ESPN's willing to carry the Pac-12, but they want to do it under their terms. I don't blame them. That's their job as a company, to come up with the best deal for the company. Fox is showing no interest in it right now. NBC is showing no interest in it. CBS is showing no interest. And then there's Apple. I don't know what interest Apple is showing it. Apple right now has Major League Baseball. Apple has MLS. They probably would love to get into doing college football. But again, the same thing. More of a, instead of doing 3 to 5 games in a weekend, they would like to get a primary game and carry the primary game. That's the problem the Pac-12 has right now. The Big 12 completely outmaneuvered the Pac-12 on this. Brett Yormark came in, impressed all the executives. He got a deal with ESPN. He got a deal with Fox. He ended up getting $31 million a school, and then he negotiated a buyout with Texas and Oklahoma. And that negotiated buyout with Texas and Oklahoma was not cheap. It was $100 million. And that one, that tells you about the grant of rights. The $100 million, so let's just say it's approximately $50 million per school. I don't know if one's paying more than the other, or it's just $50 million per. We just know the total price tag is $100. See, it's always been presented as total, so I don't know if one has to pay a little bit more than the other. So I'm not sure. But let's just round it off, $50 million per school. All right? To get out of 1 year, that's to get out of 1 year. But he negotiated it that way he can move forward with Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, and BYU and go forward with 12. And I give Brett Yormark a lot of credit, the commissioner of the Big 12. He's come in. He got them a TV deal. He stabilized the TV deal. He kept it with two of the prime networks, Fox and ESPN, you know, which also includes ABC. He negotiated a buyout with Texas and Oklahoma that worked for everybody. And they've got, you know, now he had nothing to do with the four schools coming in. Bob Bowlesby did that. But he's done all that. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 has spent its entire time, it seems, trying to convince the California Board of Regents to help them out. And everybody knew how it was going to end up. Everybody knew how it was going to end up. I mean, they, you know, they opened up their negotiations on the TV deal before the Big 12 did. The Big 12 has a TV deal. The Pac-12 has none. And again, they could end up with a package of games on Amazon But it's not going to be, here's the white knight coming in to save the day. It's going to be a package of games. And Amazon, in all likelihood, wants to do a game of the week, not a bunch of games a week. And they, and the Amazon wants to make a bid on the NBA, just like NBC does. NBC wants to make a bid in the NBA, too. You okay?
We're still good. We're still good.
No, I was told I had to check in every 10 minutes. Make sure you're right. If you want, you can call a timeout here. I know it's early, but that's what your team does.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Just checking. Okay, now let's get to the next part. Friday's Board of Trustees meeting. This will be, you know, the public meeting that takes place in State College. They want to do something with the practice fields. They want to put in a permanent video board and a sound system at the practice fields. They are forever bringing out and wheeling out speakers around the field. Every day, wheel them out. Every day, wheel them out. Every day, wheel them out. Okay? So they want to put in a permanent sound system outside, and they want to put in a permanent sound system inside. Right? They also want to have permanent filming locations inside Luba Hall. They want to put a video board inside Luba Hall as well. And outside, they want to put play clocks. Okay, now they have play clocks that are already mounted on Haluba. They've got portable ones that they set up at the opposite end. They want more permanent ones put up there. On the artificial field, they want to put a goalpost, a permanent goalpost up, and then netting around the artificial field for obvious reasons. Okay. You know, you don't want a ball like sailing through the uprights and landing on University Drive. So they say that this will probably be, the design work was done by HOK, and the project is in right around the $7.5 million range. And, of course, they just finished the renovations in Haluba Hall, I mean in Lash Building, I should say. And at some point they're going to have to do something with Haluba Hall. But anything that you're doing with football and men's basketball, to be honest with you, especially with football, right, these are investments. And I've talked about this a lot, and so I'll just quickly repeat it. My father, of course, had his own sheet metal fabrication business. My brother is the one that owns and runs it now. I remember a long time ago, my dad put a ton of money. I mean, not a small amount. Into a press brake machine. Press brake machines bend parts. They bend stainless. They bend sheet metal, right? Okay. And he needed something like that to speed up the process and knew based on what he was bidding on that they would have enough parts to bend along the way that had to have it and had to be precise as to what angle the bend had to be. And he bought the machine. Now, why did he buy it? Well, he invested in it because the idea was the money that he bought the machine for, he was going to get more back, and it's going to more than pay for itself. That's how business operates. That's what's happening with football here. They're continuing to invest in football because that is the gigantic moneymaker. Men's basketball is the second one. Right? I gave everybody the numbers last week, but I'll give you the numbers one more time. And this is for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022. Okay? And the first full year of Pat Kraft as the vice president for intercollegiate athletics will not come out until about a year from now, just so everybody knows. So this would be for everything entailing the 21-22 season. Football brought in $105.6 million and spent $57.6 million. Well, that's a profit of $48 million. Okay? So you're already $48 million ahead of the game. Men's basketball brought in $10.9 million last year, spent $8.2 million. That's a plus of $2.7 million. The only other one that at least got to breaking even was men's ice hockey. Men's ice hockey was able to bring in, let's see, men's ice hockey brought in 4.378, but spent 4.408, so they lost $32,000, but at least they were close to breaking even. Men's lacrosse lost $900,000. Women's volleyball lost $1.7 million. Women's, and again, I'm not worried about the losses, okay? This is not, has nothing to do with that, but it gives everybody a general idea of what you're dealing with. Women's ice hockey, my apologies, yeah, lost $1.1 million. Women's volleyball lost $1.7 million. Men's lacrosse, $900,000. Women's basketball lost $3.7 million. In fact, they didn't even clear $1 million in revenue. Last year, they had $887,000 in revenue, lost $4.6 million. And wrestling. I know there is some thought process out there. I mean, I've actually had people say to me they make money. I've had some people say to me that they break even and every once in a while turn a profit. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. None of those are correct. It's just the reality of it. And I understand everything is sold out. There's nothing more they can do. Everything in Rec Hall is sold out. When they go to the Jordan Center, the vast majority of time they're sold out. I think what they've done, 11 Jordan Centers now, and 9 of the 11 have been sold out. Okay? So there's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing. Okay? But wrestling last year won the national championship and lost $1.2 million. Okay? And I know it's hard for Penn State fans to fathom. I mean, again, I've had people say, well, you know, sometimes, you know, they lose a little bit. Sometimes they break even, maybe, you know, make a little bit. No, no, and no, they don't. Hey, usually the losses are between $700,000 and $1.2 million. And it's this time it's $1.2 million. Like, every year it's like this. I point this out every year. And I sit back and I let people say things to me as I talk to them. And, you know, you try to be polite about it, but, like, you look at them and go, no, that's not the case. I apologize, but that's not the case. I've seen the numbers. Okay? And the numbers are public record. Okay? The numbers are public record. I was able to get this on public record. Okay? They put it out. It's on a PDF. So when you're talking about what money is going into football, well, guess what? The idea is to take that $48 million and do it in such a way where now the profit's 55 or 56. The money you put into basketball, you're hoping that profit can get up to maybe $3.5 to $5 million, if it's possible, to offset everything. Yeah, and Pat's right. He wants to invest... he wants to invest in soccer. Jeffrey Field, scoreboards, stands, and locker rooms and bathrooms. They need locker rooms and bathrooms. I mean, those are basics. So Pat's doing it the right way. He's absolutely doing it the right way, and he's got his priorities right as to what he's trying to do with this. No question. And I don't mind in the least if I'm going to get a national championship year in and year out with wrestling and sell out wrestling left and right, I could care less about a $1.2 million loss, okay? Because I'm going to make up for it between football and obviously some men's basketball money, okay? But it is, I mean, I know that people see sellouts in ice hockey. Ice hockey's very expensive. That's why it's only a $32,000 margin. Okay? I know people see big crowds at women's volleyball, but they lost $1.7 million. They see sellouts in wrestling, and they can't comprehend it's a $1.2 million loss. But there are a lot of factors that go into why that is, and that is not an atypical loss. You know, anybody who has the idea that they make money or they break even, right? and they're telling you that, they are absolutely wrong and do not know the numbers. I mean, they aren't even close to being right. So back to the football part. You're investing in football so that 48 can become 55 to 60, which then benefits everybody else, including football. So that's what they're going to talk about, this 7-point end. And believe me, there have been donations that have made a big difference in offsetting costs and things like that. But still, Board of Trustees will talk about that coming up on Friday. But you have to keep making investments. You invest money to make money. Well, what makes money? Okay? Over and over again, we tell you there are two elements that have the potential to make more money. Okay? Football has a chance to make more money. Men's basketball has a chance to make more money. They're making money now. Football a ton. Men's basketball some. Right? But those are the two that have the opportunity to make more of a profit, which then in turn can help everybody else. So that's why you talk about the investments made on a football practice field, because it's part of the investment of trying to get more. And look, when you with a 12-team playoff coming up and the money that goes with it, and a 12-team playoff that is going to have probably two media partners coming up starting in 26, which is going to bring even more money to it, you got to keep going. And the NCAA tournament has a good chance to expand in men's basketball. Okay? Has a good chance to expand, which opens the door, obviously, for more teams, including your team, to get in. And guess what that means? That means units. Units mean money. Units carry over for 5 years. That's distribution. That's a big plus. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this. And the new TV contract, where every football game is going to be on TV and every men's basketball game is going to be on TV. I mean, all of them. So, yeah, you're going to have other sports be on TV, obviously. Volleyball's on TV. Wrestling was on, what, five times this year? I mean, wrestling's on five times. Basketball's about to play, what, its 27th game? Basketball's been on TV 24 out of the 27. The other ones were BTN Plus, and I, no offense, I don't consider that to be TV. You know, it's a streaming thing. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. You okay?
I'm still good. We're rocking it today.
I'm worried that every time I ask, the delay is longer before you answer.
We're good.
No, I have notes here from individuals who know you. They're concerned. All right. Is Drew doing okay?
I haven't seen him, actually. I saw him in the building yesterday, so that's a good sign.
Is Allie doing okay?
From what I've seen on social media, it seems that she's doing okay, but very frustrated.
Allie is as diehard. She's more diehard about the Eagles than Drew is.
Yes, that is a definite. Absolutely.
Okay. I feel for all of you, because you know what's interesting about this Super Bowl? I think the Eagles fans were absolutely sure they were going to win the game. They didn't hope they were going to win the game. They were absolutely sure they were going to win the game.
Yep.
And in a lot of ways, and let's face it, they had the best player in the field. Jalen Hurts was the best player in the field the entire game, except for one mistake. But he was the best player all night long. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. But the Sunbury Motors guarantee and that service department just does a fabulous job taking care of the life of your vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The couple quick notes for you. The Eagles now need coordinators because both have left for head coaching jobs. One with the Colts, and then, of course, your guy, Jonathan Gannon, with the Arizona Cardinals. His job interview on Sunday went really well. I wasn't surprised he got the job.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
And now you're going to get... Now you have somebody else that they'll bring in that you'll want to kick. I know how you guys operate.
No, actually, another good candidate has emerged that I wouldn't mind coming. An outside candidate, which I said yesterday I would like to have instead of promoting from within, because that wouldn't solve the problem in my view. And that is Vance Joseph, who now is without a job because he, of course, was under Cliff Kingsbury.
Right. Yeah, no, he's got a great reputation. And by the way, Vic Fangio did take the Dolphins job officially. Well, your guy Montas is out for the year, huh?
No surprise. That's been a total waste of time.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, should we play back the tapes from the show the day they acquired him?
I know. That was one I was very dead wrong on. And, that's been really... That's probably one of the worst trade deadlines Cashman's ever pulled off.
You say, who was right about him? What did you say? Somebody write about him?
That has been just beyond a disaster.
It's one of the big problems in sports, and it this goes back to the beginning of time. How can you somehow keep guys healthy? It's just not easy. It goes with what I've talked about. I talked about the attrition rate in football. It's why going to 18 games is going to... They're going to do it. I mean, for some reason, the NFL really seems to care a lot about money. Have you noticed that? It's going to be kind of a...
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, they're going to want to go to 18 games, and you're just going to... I mean, even look at the NFC Championship game, for example. Christian McCaffrey is taking snaps in the Wildcat because... He's all they've got left. Really? This is in the championship game. Like, holy mackerel. Not good. I mean, guys do get banged up. I mean, people forget, too. I mean, I think people do forget. In the win over Jacksonville, remember, Chad Henne was, who just, by the way, announced his retirement. Chad Henne actually directed the Chiefs on, what, a 98-yard drive for a score?
Yep, versus Jacksonville, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had to go to their backup quarterback at one point. But at least they had their backup quarterback in there. I mean, if it was for a series or two, Gardner Minshew would have been just fine in the game on Sunday. Whole game becomes more of a problem. A couple of games becomes problematic. But, like, you know, a series, a game, yeah, that's what a backup quarterback can do. But that's what the problem you find in sports today is the attrition rate is really difficult. And sometimes you don't get out of the game. Montas is out for the year with shoulder surgery. DeGrom, out of first spring workout, tightness in the shoulder. And over and over, you know. LeBron's hurt again. Zion Williamson's hurt again. Good game tonight on CBS Sportsnet. Xavier Marquette. Here's one for you. Let me ask you something. Shaka Smart's now at Marquette. They have a chance to win the Big East title. You know how many conference championships he has? Between VCU, Texas. Now he's at Marquette. Now obviously he had a chance to win, really won at Marquette. They didn't win last year. You know how many conference titles he has? I'm trying to engage you in the show here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. If anything, it's probably just the VCU days, right?
It's none. He's never won a conference championship. I think everybody assumes he has because of VCU getting to the Final Four. But Shaka Smart's coach, it's difficult to win a conference championship. I know. I'm there every day. It's difficult to do. And as a coach, he's been very successful, but he has never been involved as a head coach of a conference-winning championship. Interesting. Alabama's first game is the number one ranked team in the country is at Tennessee tonight. Virginia at Louisville. Have you seen what Louisville's record is? They're 3-22.
Whew. It's amazing how downhill both their football and men's basketball programs have gone quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A really good game tonight in Evanston. Indiana's at Northwestern. They're both 18-7. It's at 9 o'clock tonight on BTN. That's a really good one. And I would be remiss, by the way, and I apologize, because of what happened with the Super Bowl and how it played out, we talked a lot about that. We talked a lot about basketball yesterday. I've had a lot of guests on. We had John Sauber on yesterday, Neil Coulon, Chris Solari today. I apologize for the fact that this is a Wednesday. It's the first time I'm mentioning that Penn State won the regular season Big Ten Wrestling Championship. So, after wins over Michigan, after wins over Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, and so forth, I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they were going to win. Okay? The foregone conclusion. But they won it, and it should be recognized. So my apologies to the wrestling fans for not mentioning that sooner. The XFL starts this weekend. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. So the Vipers play the Renegades on ABC at 3 Saturday. Guardians and the Roughnecks Saturday night, 8:30 on ESPN and FX. Battlehawks and Brahmas, Sunday on ABC at 3. Sea Dragons and Defenders at 8 o'clock on Sunday night on ESPN. Now, it should be pointed out that they have odds on these games. How can you know anybody's good? One game's even. One game is minus two. One game is, another game is minus two, another game is minus two and a half. How do you do game, how do you do odds on that? Who knows who's any good in this thing? Wow. Now, are they doing the same thing? Are they still playing all these games in Arlington? Or
I know they've changed a little bit. I know there's still going to be a majority of the games in Birmingham.
No, that's the USFL, you're thinking.
Oh, you're right. Yes. I'm getting these mixed up. Then actually, I don't know.
It says here, meet the 15 XFL quarterbacks. Kyle Sloter, Arlington Renegades. Okay. Southern Mississippi, Northern Colorado. Broncos, Vikings, Cardinals, Lions, Bears, Raiders, Vikings, and New Orleans Breakers. Drew Plitt played against Penn State at Ball when he was at Ball State. He's with the Arlington Renegades. The D.C. Defenders. Eric Dungy, or Dungy, excuse me, from Syracuse. Giants, Cleveland, Dallas Renegades, Cincinnati Bengals. Brandon Silvers, Troy. Caleb Ellaby, Houston, out of Western Michigan. Quentin Dormady, Orlando Guardians, played with Tennessee, Houston, and Central Michigan. DeAndre Francois, remember him at Florida State? Then he went to Hampton. They had that opening game with Alabama in Arlington, where he played really well, then got hurt, and his career was never the same. Anthony Russo, Temple and Michigan State, with the San Antonio Brahmas. Juwan Pass, San Antonio Brahmas, Louisville and Prairie View A&M. Ben DiNucci played at Pitt and at James Madison. Steven Montez out of Colorado. A.J. McCarron of Alabama, who's now 32. Ryan Willis out of Kansas and Virginia Tech. Jalen McClendon out of Baylor and NC State. And Luis Perez out of Southwestern College and Texas A&M Commerce.
So I knew three of the quarterbacks.
I know one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. I know nine of the 15. Are you going to watch?
Probably not, no.
Oh, you're so disappointing. I mean, you need to get back in there. You need it. Okay, you know what? After the opening weekend of the season, you know what you need to do? And I'm saying this for your own good. Pick a one of the four teams that wins. Okay?
Okay.
And see if you can latch on to them and come up with some sort of championship somewhere.
Maybe I'll try to do that. You know, the Philly Stars went deep last year for the USFL.
Yes, they went to the title game. And what did they do?
Well, they lost, but...
Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, that was a tough one, too.
Phillies?
Yep.
I'm not going to finish it out for you.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, too soon.
Too soon. We could be sitting here in this show for 5 years. It's going to be too soon. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Pickett in the corner. He's double there now. Hawkins has him one-on-one. Takes the jumper. It's good. It's a three. 71-57, Nittany Lions. 12:48 to play.
Last night, 41 points. Not his career high, by the way. He had 46 in a double overtime win at Siena over Quinnipiac in his career. But, you know, we asked him last night, is this the best game you played? He goes, yeah, I think so. Right? And Dick says, Really? He says, no, it is. Okay. The Wisconsin game. Maybe I was talking earlier about, hey, look, you've got to be able to so many of the games in this conference are played in a phone booth. Wisconsin won the game last night, right? Okay. 64-59. And of course, what's been my primary complaint about the style in the Big Ten right now? Okay. It's just everything's in a phone booth. Okay? It's in a phone booth. You want to know how many shots Wisconsin made in the final 10 minutes of the game last night?
I'm going to say two.
Actually, none. In the final 10 minutes and 45 seconds of the game, Wisconsin did not make a single shot. Okay. That was it. Wisconsin made 10 of 12 free throws in the final 10:45 of the game. That was all their points. They literally did not hit a shot. Michigan, on the other hand, made 2 of their last 11 shots, including 8 straight misses. This is what you're selling to people? I mean, that's why last night's game, right, you're ESPN, you're thrilled. This has nothing to do with Penn State winning the game or not. I'm talking about 93-81. Okay? You're talking about a game that had offense, flow, shooting, guys hitting shots. Okay? Do you want to go to a game where one team doesn't hit a shot for 10 minutes and 45 seconds yet still wins? That's the game. I can't wait to go see that game. Matt LePay and Brian Bosch, the two announcers last night, two good friends of mine, had to come up with 19 different ways of saying no good without being redundant. The team that won the game went the last 10 minutes and 45 seconds without making a basket.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.